Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop shares about the importance of returning to our first love in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Be equipped and empowered to deepen your relationship in prayer and intercession and know the benefits of a deeper connection with God. Know today that this is God's word of empowerment for you. Be inspired as you listen.
The title of our discussion this morning is Returning to Your First Love. Tell somebody, return to your first love. And the topic itself is convicting. It's very convicting because if you look at the commitment you and I had when we came to Christ, we got saved, we got born again, our attitude then, we responded to things of God and the house of God was mind-blowing. There's a gentleman sitting here right now. He's a very big man, and he's been in this church for almost 30 years, and he used to live at Cape Coast. And in those days, he would drive every Sunday morning to come to church in Accra from Cape Coast. He was then a lawyer. He's now bigger than that. And he would drive all the way, he and some few guys, they would drive from Cape Coast all the way to Airport Residential Area to come to church on Sunday morning, and after that go back to Cape Coast, drive back to Cape Coast. And there were people driving from Takoradi, from Kumasi. Some would come Sunday, early morning, Saturday night, just to hear the word of God preached to them in those days. And today he lives, I think, just 5 minutes away from church. I don't know whether God rewarded him because he used to drive all that long. So he put him just 5 minutes away from church where he can even walk to church and walk back, you know. But that kind of commitment, you can't find it anymore. The commitment you find today is a convenient one, you know, where we go places because it's convenient. We go places because we are celebrated. You know, there is something they call today, I'd rather be where I'm celebrated than where I'm tolerated or where I'm rejected. And it's a very good saying, and it makes sense. But, you know, you can be where God wants you to be and feel rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, smitten of God, despised, forsaken and rejected of men. And I feel rejected sometimes in my own house. I feel betrayed. I feel rejected. And I can't run away from the people that reject me. Because sometimes and most times, the very people that reject me are the people I'm called to. There are people, it doesn't matter the extent you go to be good to them, to help them. Every now and then, they are provoked by whatever wants to kill them, hurt them, and destroy them to turn against you. So you pull back from them, withdraw your prayers from them, and hand them over to the enemy. And the only way the enemy can get them is to get them to turn against you. So you can pull back and say, well, if that is your attitude, I've had enough, get out. But you got to be bigger than that. And until they come to themselves and realize that they are wrong, it's very difficult. And some too, they never come to themselves. But you have to keep praying for them, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, and that the veil will be removed, and the spell will be broken, and the bewitchment will be destroyed, and that they will come to themselves. It's difficult. So, as much as it's great to say, well, I will be where I'm celebrated than where I'm rejected, it's all this America. America, as much as it has been a blessing, it's also been a curse. The Christianity in America, as much as it has been a blessing, it has also troubled the body of Christ worldwide, because there are slogans and there are mentalities and all kinds of attitude of the American church that is plaguing the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a slogan that they use, I'm moving on, I'm moving on. You know, I don't like what is going on. So God spoke to me. I'm moving on. So it's another way of breaking wrath. I'm moving on. Commitment is no more there. People can't endure anymore. They can't take pain. They can't take offense. There's no depth of forgiveness in the church anymore. Any small thing offends people. Some of you are hearing me this morning. An usher offended you at the car park. Some of you were offended by where you were asked to sit. And the people who told you to sit where you are sitting didn't handle you well, didn't talk to you well. So you're offended. Everything offends us. And all those are signs that we have backslided from our first love. Come with me. Revelation 2, Revelation chapter 2. Reading from verse 1 to 4.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write.
Ephesus. This is one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. They were all in those days at Turkey. Signs and geographical locations where they were are still there in Turkey right now. All these seven churches. Go ahead.
These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works.
He said, I know your works. Please understand the fact that God knows you and he knows your works. He knows your works. Go ahead.
I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience.
Your works, your labor, your patience. God said, I know everything about you. Go ahead.
And how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
You can't stand injustice and you can't stand evil.
And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars.
You've tried people who call themselves apostles and prophets who are liars and are not. You have discerning of spirits.
And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted.
God said you've labored for my name's sake, you haven't fainted.
Nevertheless,
you are still in church. As for first service, you won't miss it. You can miss any other service, but as for first service, you are there. You don't miss it. You are there. Second service, you are there. Special services, you are there. You are still in church. Go ahead.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love.
God said, irrespective of all these things I've said about you, this is my view of you. This is how I define you. God, I know all things. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I declared the end from the beginning. And I know all things about you. And I'm telling you that this is my personal assessment of you and of the church, the state of the church. This is how I see it. I'm not impressed with what impresses men. Men think you are doing great. Men think everything is good, but that is not what I think. God said, I have a complaint against you, and this is my complaint. My complaint is that you have left your first love. You used to serve me with such love that I miss that first love. You are serving me all right. It's like a wife cooking for the husband, carrying out all the duties of a wife, but her heart is not in it. She's very cold. She cooks. She does everything for the man, but her heart is not, and the man can tell that she's cold, that she's holding back something. And God said, you are serving me all right. You are tithing. You are doing all the things required of you. You are going through all the formalities and rituals, but something is lacking. And God said, I have a complaint against you, and that is your first love. I want you to go back to your first love. God said, I want you to love me as I love you. The Bible said we love him because he first loved us. And God said, I don't want anything from you if it's not down out of love. He said, I don't want anything. Even faith, the Bible said, faith works by love. So without love, faith will not work. And God said, I don't want you to do anything. I don't want anything from you. If you won't do what you do for me and my house with love, then I don't want it. He said, I want you to go back to your first love. Where you did things for me without complaining. Where you were not offended about anything. When it wasn't about who recognizes what you are doing and who did not recognize you. I remember when I got born again, in those early days, I went to church with two friends of mine, and we were all out there in the world. And when I got born again and they heard it, they said, Nikki, Nikki. So they followed me to church. And I was telling everybody about my faith, about Jesus. When you love somebody, you talk about the person. And the reason why we are not winning souls and we are not sharing Jesus with our neighbors, our loved ones, and people within our own house is because we have love. We've lost our first love. But I tell you, if you really are in love with God and you still have your first love, you will talk to people about Jesus. The reason why we don't is because we've lost our first love. We don't care anymore. We become cool. And I remember that there was this lady that she was a nurse. She used to take care of me when I was at hospital at Kolebu at what age in those days. And I had all kinds of plans for her. And then I got born again. So everything fell through. So I decided to bring her to church. So I invited her to church and she came. She got born again. And in those days I didn't understand the workings of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we talked to her about the Holy Spirit, that it was an experience you must have. And you know, in those days, I desired the Holy Ghost. I will cry, I will fast, I will do everything to be baptized with the Spirit. Today, there are believers in the church, right in this church, who don't even care about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't even ask questions. They don't care. They don't ask. They don't desire it. And they sit in church. They are not water baptized. They are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. They haven't been through membership class. But they are just there. They are just there. They feel like it's a privilege, you know, to God for them to come to church. They don't put value on spiritual things. They value other things more than spiritual things. And it's heartbreaking. Anyway, one day we decided to get her baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we decided that Friday was the best time. So three of us took her to the church. There was no all night that day, just the three of us. We prayed for her the whole night for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She didn't receive it. The whole night. All we're praying about, fill her with the Holy Ghost, fill her with the Holy Ghost. Then we baptize her. Then we say, open your mouth, see what the Spirit is saying. And the Spirit wasn't saying anything. So the next morning, the pastor's wife, because they live in the same premises, the pastor's wife told the husband and Elder Saki that Nicholas, they mentioned my name, they didn't even mention the two others. You know, for whatever reason, I was the one they mentioned, but it was three of us. And we came to church that Sunday morning, and Elder Saki of blessed memory stood up, and he mentioned my name. He called my name and said, where are your two friends stand? And he said that I was told that you people went to the church to pray for a lady all night. Three men praying for a lady all night. What were you doing? And he blasted us. Hey, it was bazaar. And me, I've just come from the world, from the jungles. I didn't know the protocol in the church. And I was, you know, I was literally broken and I didn't have anywhere to go. So I said to myself, I'm sorry, I didn't know that it won't happen again. And after the service, I went to see him, apologized to him, and he drove me home. He used to live at around Granada Hotel. So he brought me home, and that was Sunday morning. And in the evening, he picked me up and we went back to church. Two of my friends left the church. They left the church. And those two who left the church, they haven't stood on their feet in the things of God. They are still going up and down in Christ. They never made anything out of their life when it comes to God because they got offended. I had no choice. I got to stay in. Matthew 24 and verse 12.
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
You see, that is where we are. The love of many of us has waxed cold. Are you hot or cold? The love of many of us have waxed cold. If you look at your commitment to the house of God, to the things of God, you know, I'm looking at declaring next year as the year of purity. The year of purity. You know, and we need to work on some things. And one of the reasons is because the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But a lot of us are not pure in heart. There are all kinds of things in our heart. We are sitting in church and we are holding things against people. Even me, preaching right now, some of you are holding things against me. You are angry with me for whatever. Some of the things you are even angry with me about, I have no idea about. And some of your pain, your anger, and your offense has no basis, has no evidence. And yet, you are so entrenched in it that nothing can pull you out of it. You are just there. Satan has deployed your emotions to sabotage your own life. We call it self-sabotage or self-destruction. The love of many shall wax cold. And I was checking to look at this word iniquity, this particular iniquity. And it's not just talking about sin or temptation. It's talking about days where we will call evil good and good evil. And those are the days we live in. One of my spiritual sons was talking to me early this morning. And he said he went for a graduation. One of the young men in the church graduated, so he attended a graduation at a very wealthy school in a very wealthy community in America. I don't want to mention the name of the area. And he said that after the graduation, the school literally gave the kids cigar and cigarette, and they were smoking all kinds of things. I don't want to mention. And they were drinking everything you can think of. And in the class of 50 people, the only one that wasn't smoking and drinking was that young man from our church. He went to support. But 49, everybody was drinking and smoking. That is difficult. Because if you don't do what others are doing, the peer pressure and the mockery and how you are defined, you are kolo, you are queer, you are this, you are that, you are that. You are forced and compelled by society to compromise, to do something, to prove something that you are not. These are days where iniquity is prevailing in our society. That you can't even speak the truth. You can't speak against evil. There are so many things, if you try to speak against right now or to correct it right now, the way evil will come at you, drown your voice, and the few good people who are supposed to support you will even turn against you. I'm telling you. There are so many things I don't want to touch and I don't want to deal with. Because after a while you get weary and you get tired that I'm not the only voice who must speak out. I'm not the only voice who must confront things. Leave it alone. Because you touch something for the benefit of others, in the interest of others, and the very people you are fighting for, the very people you are speaking for, will turn against you. That is the times we live in, where iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. It's time to return to our first love, and it will cost you something. If anybody tells you that serving God is easy, it's a lie and a deception. Because if I look at the size of this church and this house and the people who come to this house, there should never be any need or want in this house. We must never give up envelopes to ask people to do anything when it's time for conventions or anything. People must be led by the Spirit. As by now, we should have matured to a point where we ask, what can I do to help? What is the need in the house? What is it that I can do? What can I do? What is the need? What can I do? It shouldn't just be leadership. It shouldn't just be Papa trying to do all that I do for the benefit of the house and the future. And there are some people who even think that you are doing too much. Why is he doing all of this? And some people say, we thought he wouldn't break anything. He has started again. Convention is coming. Oh, boo boo, oh, break it. And they won't even ask, what is he breaking? What is he boo booing? Then it's after they'll say, oh, it's nice. Oh, why are they, papa, they need effect. It's all lack of first love. Your love has waxed cold. If you have to be told to do something before you do it, it's a true sign that your love for God has waxed cold. This morning, let us return to our first love. You know, in those days, we used to run. I met a guy, and he was telling me the other day, he said, I used to come to your church when I was young. I used to be in secondary school. And he said, when we drop at airport residential area, we will run to get there for intercession, for praise, for worship, and we never miss your preaching. And he was telling me things about his life and his family, how my preaching has blessed and impacted his life. He was just telling me things and how I wish we could go back to those days. I didn't ask you to clap. Who clapped? Who clapped? Who clapped? That is Bishop Nyako. But the fact of the matter is that we've gotten to a place nothing touches us anymore. No message moves us. Nothing. Nothing touches us. Nothing. Because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. They will call good evil and evil good. I'm telling you. Good people are becoming minority. And evildoers are becoming majority. That is the times we live in. And if I don't prepare you, remind you of the word, and empower you, you'll be swallowed up by the evil and by the iniquity of the time. Compromise. Compromise is the order of the day. If you take your stand, you are evil. You compromise, you are good. That is the time we live in. And I'm worried about the next generation. I'm telling you. It's not just enough for our children to go to church and for them to be Christians. They must be on fire. Because in their days, they will need more anointing than you and I. In their day, they will need more power than you and I. In their days, they will need more grace than you and I. That's why Elisha said to Elijah, give me double portion of your anointing. Because when I look at what you have to deal with in your days, and I look at the ongoing crisis in my time, I will need double of what you have. I'm telling you, our children will need more than what we have. If you pray all your life 3 hours, your children will have to pray 6 hours for them to survive. I'm telling you. Are you clapping? Because iniquity shall what a place. The love of many shall wax cold. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
Loving the Lord thy God, not with your mouth, but with all thy heart. Where is your heart? Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Where is your heart? Do you love him with all thy heart, or some part of your heart? All thy heart. With all thy strength, with all thy mind. God said, I want everything or nothing. You either serve me with everything or forget it. I don't want any half thing here. I want you. I want your heart. I want your strength. I want your mind. I want your time. I want your money. I want your skill. I want your investment. I want everything about you or I don't want anything at all. This is the first commandment. Do you love him? If you love him, you prove it. If you love him, it will be seen. It will be shown. Not in what you say, but in what you do. You see, it's easy for people to say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. But you see, true love is not what you say, but what you do. What you do for the person you say you love. And what you do for the things the person you love, loves, and cares about. With all thy heart, all your soul, with all thy mind, everything, your thoughts, everything. God said, I want you. I want everything about you. And until I have that kind of commitment, I'm not impressed. I have a complaint. Now, everything is just a routine and a formality. But I want your heart. I want everything. Without reservation, give it all to me. Romans 8:35.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Who?
Shall tribulation?
These things are there. Tribulation. Today we can't. This is a generation that cannot endure tribulation. This generation, they can't. They don't have staying power. They don't have endurance. They can't take anything. Any small thing, you don't see them in church. Any small thing, they offend them. Tribulation. Tribulation. Troubles. Troubles. Hey. I'm concerned about the next generation. I'm telling you. You face tribulation. It's part of our walk with Christ. Suffering is a message you don't hear in the church anymore. We don't talk about suffering anymore. But suffering is one of the baptisms. That I might know him. The power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. Today, sufferings, we don't talk about suffering. Everything is sweet and beautiful. It's a lie. There is suffering in serving God. Suffering. Misrepresentation. If you know the amount of misrepresentation I face every day. Things that I hear about myself, and sometimes it blows my mind. I hear something, I say, me. And I stand in the mirror and I look at me and say, let me check you out. Charlie, let me check you out and see if it's you. Some serious stuff. And people sit in church and have all kinds of mentalities about you. And they will not even have, they don't even have the courtesy to ask you, are you what I'm hearing? And they discuss it among themselves and they poison other people. Tribulation. Go ahead.
Or distress.
Distress. Talk about stress. 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 I haven't slept the whole night. I haven't slept. I couldn't sleep. I was wrestling with something. And most times it's like that. I was wrestling with a beast. I was wrestling with the beast. And then I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. And then the Lord said something to me. And then as soon as he spoke, I won't tell you what he said. A wind came around and immediately changed my wings. And something new took place. And I said, okay, thank you, Lord. And I woke up and I said, I'm not sleeping. I'm going to church. So I left the house. At 4 in the morning, I say, I'm going to church. I'm not the kind of pastor who sit down, point. I have points. Bishop Oboda will tell you. I don't deal with points. I study. But I don't deal with points. I let the Spirit bend the thing in my spirit. And the Bible says, let him that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So I say, God, what are you saying to action? What are you saying? What is my state? What is the spiritual state of this church? What should I tell your people? They are coming from everywhere. What do you want me to tell them? And the Spirit said, put aside your message. Put aside. In time for the harvest. On time for the harvest. Put it down. And remind my people, including yourself, that you have fallen from your first love. Go back to your first love. Go ahead.
Or persecution.
Persecution. This is a generation, we want everything right about us. Years ago, a guy came to see me and said he was doing PR for a certain of God in town. I don't want to mention his name. And that he's paying him so much money, and if I will pay him less than that, he will do PR for me to maintain my name and make sure I have a good name in the public and all that. I don't know whether I did the right thing or the wrong thing, but I rejected it. You know? And I tell you, let me tell you something. Hear me. When we talk about integrity, the thing we call integrity has to do with the conditions of a man's heart. And it's only God who knows your heart. So don't be fooled. You know, what people call integrity, you know what it is? It's reputation. Reputation. And if you have a good PR firm, you know, before I came back to Ghana from America, a firm came to see me in America. And they said, since Larry Lee went down, nobody is carrying the message of prayer in America. Bishop Jakes told me the same thing. And they said, we've seen your message on prayer and the miracles. You are very powerful. You could be the biggest next thing in America after T.D. Jakes. And this is what they said. They said, we want to manage you. We will manage you. We will show you what to say, how to say it, how to communicate with the people, how to touch their mind and appeal to their heart. And when it comes to raising money, what you have to say, and sometimes you have to cry. And then they said, we will give you a percentage of the income that comes in. We will market your materials. We'll market everything about you, your books, your DVDs, your dressing. We will show you how it works. And I said, so this thing is all about marketing. It's not about anointing. Then I remember Archbishop Idahosa, something he told me years ago in Baltimore. We went to preach in the same church, and he said, young man, don't use your anointing here in this country. Keep your anointing for Africa. These people, they don't need anointing. They don't want anointing. He said, don't use your anointing here. Just follow the rhythms. Do what they do here. Take your offering and go back to Africa. Don't come and do any anointing here. Then I didn't believe him. So I had a friend, Bill McKinley. Some of you remember Bill McKinley. I preached in Bill McKinley's church. And Bill McKinley said to me, he said, young man, you know, in America here, we keep to time. Everything is time. Money is time. So when you come and preach in my church, don't do too much of anointing, miracles, healing, and all that. The people are not interested in that. Just give them some points, bless the people, take your offering, and go. And they said, we will market you, show you what to say, how to market your materials, everything, what to say, what not to say, everything. It was a week after the Lord said, pack your things and go back to Ghana. And you know, I did, but I didn't follow through. He said, don't take anything with you. Take your suitcase. Go. Leave everything else. I lived in a beautiful community in Silver Springs. I was the only Kodaki who lived in that area. Pastor Paul had been to my house. Beautiful house. And I had a lot of sitting rooms. I mean, I had some very nice things. I had the bed, you press this knot, and then the leg goes. I mean, different kind. I said, I'm taking it to Africa. And the Lord said, leave everything here. I didn't listen. I got 240-foot container. I load everything to Ghana. Paid for it. Any minute. The 40-foot containers disappeared. And the company that I gave it to bring it to Ghana went bankrupt. I learned my lesson. And God has given me more than I have. He was trying to tell me, I can give you more than those material things. First love. Some of you, you used to look forward to come to church on Sunday. Today, coming to church on Sunday is a burden. It's a burden. What you wear on Sunday, you prepare days before Sunday. Today, you wake up on Sunday and you struggle and you sweat when it comes to what to wear, what shoe to wear. And then after you get tired and you say, okay, you know, let me forget it. I'm telling you. But in those days, me, up to today, by Friday, what I'll wear for Sunday is ready. By Friday, my message is already hot in my spirit. By Saturday, I'm talking about it. I'm throwing it back and forward. Hey, something is wrong. I'm telling you. We've lost our first love. And when we come to, I used to lead worship. Me, I used to lead worship, praise and offering. Praise and worship. I used to lead praise and worship. I can worship than Ife and everybody. Are you hearing me? My worship is not my voice. My worship is not my voice. I may not have a voice like Ife and others, but when I worship, it comes from inside my heart. My heart. Until Edasaku give me a ride. I look forward to going to church. It was my strength. It was my strength. It was my joy. Nothing fulfilled me. Today, we have praise and worship on our iPad. We have praise and worship on our cell phones. We have praise and worship in our cars. But it is never like when you are together with the brethren. Today we stream everything. Oh, if I don't come to church, I can watch it on DTV and I can stream. You can stream. You can watch it on GTV. But folks, it's not like when you are here and I say, Onyamijina Meji, Asodom Berim, Ohinye Niusu Yehu, Aku Mami, you know, Bishop Oboda Adem will tell you, I travel to nations, I speak in mega churches, but he will tell you, every Sunday I tune in, and my heart yearns to be with you. I'm looking forward to come to church. When I travel and I return, the first place I go before my house is church. I come here first. My heart yearns for God and His house. This is the meeting place between God and us. This house is the meeting place between God and us. I was walking the other day and I saw a lady, she threw a tissue paper right at the front of the bookshop. And I said, Madam, please stop. Come back. She said, I'm sorry. I said, please, go take the tissue paper, please. Don't throw tissue paper in the house of my God. Imagine, Jesus, I love you. I know, oh, that I'm mine for thee. I won't preach the gospel. I'm telling you. If it was about money, I won't preach the gospel. I've met a lot of business people who said to me, you are more of a businessman than a preacher. Right here, there are people sitting here. You should see me at board meetings. You'll be shocked. You see me at board meetings. You see me negotiating. You won't think that I'm an archbishop. But I'm serving God for eternal life, a life hereafter. And a day will come in your life when everything fails. When everything you are following after will fail. And on that day, you will have need of him. You sit there and act some way because you are loaded. Listen, a day will come in your life when money fails, when power fails, when influence fails, when connection fails, when everything fails. And on that day, there is a day. And he comes to every man and woman. When you have need of him, then God will look at your love for him and what you have done for him and his house and what he cares about to determine his response to you or your children. First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him.
Those are benefits of loving God. Church, don't let anybody fool you, despise you, mock at you, call you names because you love God. Let them go ahead. But let me assure you that there are benefits of serving God. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Hey, there are benefits of loving God. So let me tell you, if anybody is making mockery of you and fond of you for your love for God, let them go ahead. They miss the benefits, but you gain the benefits. Are you hearing me, somebody? Put your hands together. Thank God for the benefits of serving God. There are big time benefits. And serving God is not just mouth. It's not what you say. It's not just say, Lord, I love you. But it's what you do about the things he loves. And Jesus is building his church. And those who help in the building of his church are those who truly love him. Not what you are saying, but what you do. Today I dare you to prove your love for God. Not by what you say, but by commitment. By what you do for his house. The time you give to his house. Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. You want to know what you love the most? Look at your checkbook. You want to know what you love the most? Look at what you spend your money on. You want to know what you love the most? Look at what you spend your money on. Talking to my bank manager the other day, she was saying, Papa, you're spending too much. And I said, check the things I spend my money on. And when she told me, I was happy. I was happy that I wasn't spending money on my suits. These suits and things you see me wear. Somebody is sitting here. They ordered them for me. I just wear it. They sit in here. They order and they bring them. And I wear them. I don't spend money buying suits and shoes. I have them plenty. My money goes to things, if I tell you to blow your mind. Yesterday I took somebody to the prayer mountain. Showed her something and said, Papa, why are you quiet about this? Why are you not telling people? And I said, it's not necessary. I'm not in the business of pleasing, and I don't want to please anybody. It's God I'm serving. He said, but you have to let, and I said, I'm not letting anybody know anything. If they don't take their time to find out, it's their problem. Mine is to do what God has put in my heart. Look at Romans chapter 8 verse 28, quickly.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
You know, I hear people say, all things work together, all things work together, all things work together for good, all things work together. You are lying. All things don't work together for every believer. There's a condition here. All things work together for the good of them that love God. Do you love God? Do you love God in the face of tribulation, adversity, offense, hurt, hatred, misrepresentation, persecution, trials, temptations, all that goes with it. Do you still love him? Do you maintain your love for God, the house of God, in the face of discouragement, in the face of disappointment? Even if God decides never to bless you again the rest of your life, will you still give out of what he has blessed you with already? Will you continue to love him anyway? That is the kind of commitment we are talking about. Not loving God based on what he does for us, but loving him for who he is. And he said, if you love me, one of the benefits of loving me, my house, my business, is that all things will work for your good. They meant it for evil, but I will turn it for your good. Because of your service to me and my house. King Hezekiah was told by the prophet, you're going to die. This generation would have said, prophet, pray for me. He didn't mind the prophet. He said, I'm going to the boss. He turned to the wall and said, you sent him to bring me bad news. Check the records. Is that the kind of God you are? By the time he finished, God said, I changed my mind. He said, prophet, go back. I changed my mind. Tell him I changed my mind. He will live 15 more years. God just didn't make that. It was based on what did for what God cares about. Find out the things God cares about and show love towards those things. Do something about those things. And you will always have things working in your favor. Put your hands together and give God praise. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 verse 14.
Because he has set his love upon me.
Because he has what?
Set his love upon me.
Where is your love set upon? Where is your love? What is your love set upon? Where is your love? Where is your love? You know the reason why we criticize everything. We talk about everything. We criticize everything. It's like I have to come and stand here and explain myself for things I'm doing even for your own good. Building new washrooms. Building facilities for the youth and the children. Because we are growing and expanding. I have to always come and stand here as if I owe it to you. I have to come and explain to you and work to you so you can help me. Hey! It's a very interesting generation. He said because he has said what?
His love upon me.
I what?
Therefore will I deliver him.
I will what?
Deliver him.
Talk to me. I will what?
Deliver
Somebody
him.
Somebody talk to me. I will what?
Deliver him.
My God. I am confident of his deliverance. And that's why I am not afraid. I am not afraid of those predictions of false prophets. Neither am I afraid of their soulish prayers. Neither am I afraid of the attacks and of the ill wills and of the arrows and of the evil imagination. I am not afraid because I know that my love is set upon him. And I am sure of deliverance of the Lord. Deliverance, because it's one of the benefits of loving God. Somebody put your hands together and thank God.
I will set him on high.
Go ahead.
Because he has known my name.
Uh-huh.
I will set him on high because he has known my name.
I will set him on high because he has known my name. First Chronicles 29:3, quickly.
Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God.
Because what?
I have set my affection to the house of my God.
Where is your affection? Where is it? What is your affection set upon? This is the whole king. Loaded, a mogul, anointed, a priest, a king, a prophet, a financial mogul. He said, because I have set my affection on the house of God, on God's business. Where is your affection throughout the whole week? That is what will show and determine your love for God. Your affection.
He said, I have of my own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house.
For the house of God. This was a guy who never held back. He said, I've already done something, and I'm willing to do even over and above what I've done before. Never complains. We have too many complaining people in the church. They complain about everything, find fault with everything. I mean, it's amazing. This is a generation that murmurs and complains about everything. No sense of gratitude. No sense of appreciation. Sometimes if you follow congregation members, then you stop doing good. I'm telling you. Some of the experiences I've had, if it wasn't for the love of God in my heart, I would have stopped preaching long time ago and do something else. I'm telling you. If I tell you some of the things, the extent to which I go, bend myself, hurt myself and others and my whole family to show people love. Bishop Nyaku just walking, he will tell you. Don't sleep for days. Be there for people on the bed of affliction where they are dying. Stay there and they come alive from the bed of affliction and not even a call to say thank you. He'll tell you. And they in church. Next thing you hear, they go to another church and they are giving what they've never given here to another pastor who has never been there for them. And when you hear it, it cuts through your heart. But the love of God constrains us. Put your hands together and give God praise. 1 Kings chapter 3 from verse 3 to 4. 1 Kings chapter 3 from verse 3 to 4.
And Solomon loved the Lord. Walking in the statutes of David his father.
He walked in the statutes of his father. Hear me. If your children love God, they will serve God like you are serving God. I'm telling you. I watch all my children very, very well. I watch them very well. And when I was writing my will, I did some things with my will. And my lawyer said, why are you doing this? And I said, I have a reason. I might change it, but for right now, this is the way it is. And I will not die. I shall live. And I will declare the works of God in the land of the living. But I also must have wisdom and not leave myself open and my children open. Jesus said, who is my mother? And who is my brother and my sister? Those who do the will of my heavenly Father. The best of me came from him. And whoever gets the best of me must be one that loves my source and where the best of me came from. Let me give you one scripture. John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. John 21, 15 to 17.
So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?
He said, do you love me more than money, title, position, prestige, prominence in society, connections, influence, how you are viewed by society, family connection, political connection, expedience? What is it? You love these things than me, Simon? Answer me. Talk to me. Go ahead.
He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
He said, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, you do? You do? I need more than confession. Confession. I need some action. Tell somebody, action, action, action. Go ahead.
And he saith unto him, feed my lambs.
If you love me, do something about what I care about. I care about the lamb. I care about souls. I care about my business. I care about my house. I care about my church. I care about evangelism. I care about the drug rehab. I care about a prayer mountain where people will come from all over the world to gather, not to make money by buying real estate, but to pray unto God. I was there yesterday. There were about 150 people praying who have prayed for 20 hours. For this nation, for the church. And there's somebody here who was there. He said, Papa, is it the things you are doing? And I said, yes. Come see where they sleep. I feed them. That's what I'm doing. You love me, don't say it with your mouth. You love me, do something. When you love your kids, you don't wait for them to come and tell you they have a need. Every one of you here, you know what you love. And you know one of the reasons why God killed Eli's children? Because he loved his children more than God. He said he preferred his children more than God. And God said, I will kill your children and I will kill you. May God help you and I not to love anything more than God. Because anything you love more than God is an idol. It's an idol. That's why he came to Abraham and said, Abraham, give me thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I want what you love the most. Nothing competes with me. I am God. I am Elohim. I gave it to you. And it must not compete with me. I am the Lord. I am that I am. Nothing must compete with me in your life. And if you want me to give you generational blessings and take you beyond where you are, then I dare you to prove to me that nothing competes with me in your life. This son Isaac I gave you has become a competition for me. Prove to me that you love me more than him. Prove to me that you love the blesser than the blessings. Prove to me that you love the creator than the creation. Prove to me that you love the healer than the healing. Prove to me. Prove to me that you love the giver than the gift. Prove to me. Prove to me. And Abraham said, Isaac cannot compete with you. He doesn't stand a chance. You can have him. Place him on the altar, ready to kill his own son. And the voice of Elohim echoed from the corridors of eternity to time and said, Abraham, touch not the child, for now I know who you are. And because you did not withhold anything from me, and you are proving to me that nothing competes with me in your life, I swear by myself as Almighty God that in blessings I will bless you and your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea, showing that your seed shall possess the gates of your enemies. I swear. And I could hear the angel say, hey God, take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. And God said, take what easy? Take what is it? And God said, Abraham, because of what you have done, 2,000 years after today, I will beat you to it to prove to you that no man can beat God in giving. On this same mountain, I will sacrifice my son because you gave Isaac. I will give you Jesus. And 2,000 years after, his son shed his blood on the same mountain to prove to man that no man can beat God in giving. Please stand on your feet.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.